It's that late night wet wipe stuff, man.
Wet wipe.
Dads.
Late night.
Comedians.
Wet wipe.
You get me?
Three dads, and they're all quite funny. Only started this podcast to make some money. Spotify deals and comedy tours on the agenda. Let me introduce all members.
KJ,
yeah, he put this thing together. Might be the reason that it falls apart. He's from the hip, but he talks from the heart. Ride or die for the team. You know it's Kazee. Darren Griffiths, getting told off by the missus. Been a dad longer than the other two. An integral member of the crew. Where he's from, they like to say, oi, oi. Darren Griffiths, aka the Essex boy. The doctor, always thinking about a sponsor. Keeps the pod on track, loves prayer, that's a fact. Got a BBL just for the brothers that are black. It's Mike,
and this is Late Nights and Wet Wipes.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to another episode of them Late Nights and them Wet Wipes. I'm one of your co-hosts. I am Michael Akadiri, and to my left, we got
Kazeem Jamal.
There we go. And to the left,
Darren Griffiths.
And we are a trio of men.
Yes.
I was about to say a threesome, but that's a bit mad still. But yeah, we are a free mandem, and we are the Late Nights and Wet Wipes podcast.
His hymns.
He's hymns.
He's hymns.
He's hymns.
Him hymns.
Have you read the
hymns? Them there. Him they there.
Him
hymns. Hymns downstairs.
Him hymns. Himothy.
Him them. I don't know what I'm saying. I'm just talking absolute gibberish right now. You know what you're saying?
Yeah.
All right. But you're on your own, because I have no clue. I'm just talking absolute drivel. But let's get into listeners' questions, man. We're switching it up, man. Listeners' questions from the top.
Yes. Yeah?
Darren, you've got it this time, don't you?
All right. Yeah. I've got it.
I'm usually the one that reads out, but Darren's going to read it out.
All right. You ready?
Okay,
so they've even given it... all right. And I'm going to give the title. I'm going to read it. You want to go into it?
Yeah. Let's
okay. I have to read the title because they just go into
one. Make up your motherfucking mind.
Here we go. Toddler boy wants toenails painted. And I'm all for it, but how do you respond to people who tell me I'm wrong for doing so?
Ooh.
I've had my cousin tell me you're supposed to guide him to like boy things.
Ooh.
Or my brother-in-law told me, I don't care how liberal you are, don't do that to him. My dad's also been vocal about it. Am I the wrong one for painting his toenails? My son gets super happy when he gets his toenails painted, and that's all I really want to guide him to be. Happy.
Is this written by a dad? Or a mum?
I think this is a mum. They haven't said...
Oh! But it sounds like a man conflicted. That's the impression I get.
I think it's a man
that feels confident because he's talking about, oh, my brother. They care about the male opinion.
Yeah, yeah.
Their brother said this, the dad said that. So that sounds like a man who, you know, is doing what he feels is right by his child, making them happy, but is clearly wants to fit in with what society, but more specifically, what the male members of their family feel is right.
Yeah. Cuisine.
Listen, man. How old did they say the kid was?
Toddler.
Yeah, two to four.
Listen, man. Whatever you want to do in the house, you know, to a certain extent, that's house business. You get me?
Mm.
That's house business. Entertaining all of this, like, extracurricular stuff, if that's where the conversation goes with this person, I'm like, yeah, that's all cool, you know. Feel however you want to feel in the house.
Mm-hmm.
Get me? Outside, until you really know what you want, which is a long way away from now, you're who you are right now, isn't it? You're who you are right now, and put socks on, innit?
Man said, hold it down.
Hold it down for the squad.
In the house, be you, but outside,
the house,
hold it down.
Man, if you want to paint your nails, man, paint them all different kinds of colours. put the little wedge thing between your foot.
I mean, that feels nice, the wedge thing.
I've never tried.
I don't.
Well, what's the wedge thing like? Is that tissue or something?
It's the thing that keeps your toes separated.
Ooh.
I just like the sensation of my toes being separated. It's
you're
like,
autistic.
Like I'm not doing anything with my toes. I'm not doing any. I just like to put the feet and just like toes are spread.
That's sensory.
The stretching
that's
out
sensory response.
Bro. Yeah,
you got autism.
I think I wear shoes for too long in the day, so I'm like to stretch out the toes.
To breathe,
yeah, like, to stretch out the toes.
Toes could get to breathe.
Trust me, have a go. Stretch out the toes.
No, I'm good.
If your missus has some. Do it
because
it's a double thing. Of one, you get the great feeling of stretching out your toes, and two, you get to piss off your missus for using her things.
No,
she hates it when you use it.
But I've got my own.
Oh!
There's a stretch out my toes.
Petty griffs.
I'm just like, hey.
Petty griffs, you know.
Petty one.
Petty griffs, rotted.
Yeah. Petty one, yeah. Not even pedicures. I've had one pedicure in my life, and I remember the Vietnamese woman. I can't speak Vietnamese.
Yeah,
but I knew she was cussing me.
Oh yeah, what
you
the,
know when
she was vexed. She looked distressed.
Because what she was like?
Oh, my feet are mash up.
My feet are mash up too. Right, I actually want to go get a pedi.
Yeah, no, my
should
feet.
We do
are...
it? What's your feet? So should we get a group?
My feet are nice, man.
Group pedi.
I'll go for the vibes.
Yeah, we'll
that'd
go,
be fun.
Let's go group pedi.
Vibes, yeah, group pedi. Vibes,
yeah, bring some cameras as well.
Yeah, yeah. See? Say no more.
See, that's good. That's because that's a good safety
net. Buy some DVDs.
That's a good safety net disclaimer for whatever we say on this topic now, because we're comfortable with our sexuality.
Oh, no
to
doubt.
Go get pedis.
Yeah.
Group man them pedis.
Man them pedis.
I'm not.
And then we can
I'm
do
not
therapy.
Buying my own set for the house.
No, I ain't got a set for pedis.
So what have you got set for?
No, I just got the toe separator.
The toe separator.
Yeah.
So what? How did you get there?
Wait, I got an image on my head there.
Well, curlers. Curlers and
not even curlers.
The cucumbers.
Not even,
face mask.
Not even that. It's not even that luxurious, yeah? It's just a dressing gown on.
Okay? Where's the dressing gown, did it?
Where's the dressing gown's on? It's too small, so it comes up to like here. So when man sits like this, man's got a whole thigh out, yeah.
Oh shit!
He's got a whole thigh out.
Buttocks and knee.
His toe separators.
Yeah.
And his towel done up how the girls do it. And a tee. Oh, babe.
Some hairy legs and then, it's a mess.
Essex man.
What are we doing in Harlow? What's going on?
Oh my god, nah, it's weirder than that because it's just straight football top,
that's
shorts, watching TV,
what, John
and just, and just with my toes separated.
How did you get there though? That's what how did you get there?
I know, can I guess before you say it?
Go ahead, go ahead.
I feel like years ago,
on, let's hear right, this.
Round about the time you and your wife may be living together or getting towards that stage or you. It's something like that. Somewhere where you're in a stage where she's in love with you and comfortable with you enough of you being in her space or being around her things, depending if she's at your place.
Yeah.
By yourself.
Right.
Right? She's out. She's going to do something. Or maybe she's left the stuff there. Whatever. But you see where I'm going,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, yeah.
Darren's been doing Darren Griffith stuff. He's just, you know, I don't know, walking around... thinking of jokes in his head like, why do light switches do that kind of stuff? And then, like, I don't know, he's bumped into a table and they've fallen out.
Yeah.
Then, you know, in a TV show or a film, when they go, and it goes,
Eureka.
And it takes him back to a time.
Yeah.
And he's like, sitting on a thing, goes, in his head, monologue. Yeah, he's like, that looks mad comfortable. But I can't ask her to use hers because, like, this is still quite early on, and she, I don't know what she might think if I say, let me have a go of them, right? Snaps back, and he's like, they've fallen out on the floor, and he's like, oh, this is my chance. And he just cuts the next scene, dressing gown, towel. They're on
fully in
and
it.
And he's like, this is amazing.
Do what's crazier? She doesn't own any of those things. She doesn't own any toast. Just okay. Me. The only toast separators.
I was way off.
The only toast separators in the house belong to me. And they're my toast separators.
I was way off. Sorry.
And it's just, yeah, I don't, it's just comfortable. It's comfortable.
You live your best life, yeah. You know?
So how did you come across that? My
feet used to just ache. And then what happened is like, I'll take my socks off and I'd end up like just kind of putting my, like kind of like weaving my socks between my toes.
Yeah.
And just wanted to stretch my feet out. And then I'd like be just mashing my feet into the floor, like just trying to stretch them out. And I was like, oh, and then my head's like, I swear I've seen women with like toes that when they painted their toenails. And well, let me look on Amazon. And there's like proper cheap, like £2 for £3 or something. Mm-hmm. So let me just order these. And then when it came, and I just put them, I was like, ah, oh, yeah, that's nice. That's nice.
Fair enough. Yeah. Fair enough.
So it's not an everyday, it's just sometimes I just get a massive cramp in my foot. So I just need.
When you want to treat yourself, pump yourself, you bring out the set.
Got like little.
You're taking
little,
a minion, bro.
Little tub of Haagen-Dazs.
Got the rom com on.
Are you taking him to Edinburgh?
I wasn't, but well, I think I should because I'm going to be on my feet a lot. So
yeah man. We'll have the notebook or whatever.
That's true.
But let's get talk about Edinburgh. That's a nice little segue, man.
Yeah,
obviously,
shit.
You've been working up your show.
Yes.
Inconceivable.
Yes.
Yeah. Shout out Inconceivable, mm-hmm. man. 2023, Pleasance Courtyard. What time again?
4:45, depending how you read the time.
4:45, man. And now you've been going on a promotional tour, doing your thing. You're on BBC One Extra. You would have been on Represent Radio by the time this drops as well. But you've been previewing your show up and down the country to get a vibe of how people may perceive you up in Edinburgh. But you said that someone didn't take a liking to the show.
Before we get into that, sorry, Darren.
Yeah.
Because I see what you did there, Michael. And with the utmost respect, you piece of shit.
What did I say? He doesn't even know where the disrespect is.
No, I don't. I'm about to lay it down, right?
So you know
where it is.
Roll me up.
I know what you did.
No, what?
And you're slick. Spud me.
What did I do?
Spud me real quick.
I don't know. No.
Spud me first.
No,
you're going to be fine. You're going to be fine. Spud me.
Hold on, let me grab you.
Spud me. Yeah? So you said, yeah, you've been up and down the country, previewing your show, promoting it. You know, you're going to be on Represents Radio, and you did the BBC, right? And you just quickly got out of that and then went. But there was someone, you forgot to mention that. Darren went on the radio
and
fucking plugged the podcast like he was meant to. And Krispy Kreme glazed over that, right?
I think glazed over it.
Like I'm not going to catch that, yeah?
I think glazed over it. It was to be glazed over.
Yeah,
it was like the original glazed over. Yeah. It was to be glazed over. Because my man had an assist. I've never seen. He had basically Cesc Fabregas in the studio with him. That's who we had.
Because before the game, you talk tactics, and they come up to me and go, "Is there anything else? Anything you want to talk about in particular? I know you want to promote your Edinburgh show." I go, "Yes, and I want to talk about my pod. It's called Late Nights and Wet Wipes." I go, "It's a parenting podcast. I want to talk about that." And then they go, "Oh, okay, cool," and they just scurried off. And I thought, they haven't really taken that in. And then when I got into the studio, AC's chatting away, he goes, "And you pods, innit? You pods. You got a podcast, right?" And I was like, aha, here we go.
Assist, Cesc Fabregas. I didn't know Cesc Fabregas.
But didn't you go on twice and forget twice?
No, I wouldn't put it like that. the first time it was like an ambush. It was early doors. I didn't know what I was doing. I was getting used to the surroundings. This the second time, I forgot. I forgot to even promote myself.
This is why I fuck with prep.
Hey, man. Hey, that meatball man around. Anyway,
let's not digress. I just wanted to let you know that I caught that and I know what you're doing.
Big up. He spoke about the thing. I listened in. I thought he was going to fuck up. He didn't. So, you know, I was actually waiting for him to mention it.
I was hoping
to my own detriment of the pod that he didn't mention it.
And then when you had Ace go, so you've got a podcast. He was like,
assist. That's why I can't. That's why I'm taking a bit of money off it because the assist was
but
too
I
clean.
Told him to assist.
It was like he basically put
so
it
he still remembered to promo. Yeah. He still remembered to say, "Hey guys, by the way, when I'm on
six
air,
yard box.
Say this, bro."
Yeah. 6 yard box. Yeah, I didn't get that question.
It was a 1-2. That's what it was.
I didn't get that offer.
That's one
thing. If I got that offer, maybe I'll just say. But you know, you tell us about what happened. Tell the people then what happened, man.
So I did a work in progress show, and I'll tell you quickly the boring part. Did a work in progress show, going well. All of them been going well to this point. And then there's, like most Edinburgh shows, there's a sad part.
Yeah.
And I've really worked hard on the punchlines after the sad bit to bring it back to comedy again. And then just it's comedy from there on. And every time I've done it, it's like the crowd has been relieved that the fuddy's come back.
Mm.
But this show, it was just like, I couldn't work out what happened. It was like, I couldn't get them back.
And I didn't like, they were still sad.
But I didn't think they were sad. It was just like, it's just like the laughter just left the room. Like so I've had it where people have been sad and they've just remained sad.
Yeah.
And I felt that like, oh, and they're just listening, just like really respecting the story. Mm. But this, I was like, no, something's happened. I can't work out what's happened. And to the point where I was in the green room after just going, oh, I might have to like rework these bits. Like, I thought this was like good. I thought I got this bit sorted. And then I wake up the next morning and I have a message. And I'm like, oh, what's this message from? And it's in autopilot, I'm reading it. And the message is, it starts off complimentary and a big up, saying, yeah, really enjoyed your show. For what it's worth, think you're great, da-da-da. And then he said, then your later material when you're talking about IVF, because I respect that you're bringing a light to it. But as someone going through IVF, your later material had a negative effect on me to the point that I had to leave the room sobbing, which I did not want to do. And because I don't come to comedy shows that have negative effects. And you, what you need to bear in mind is that when you do this, there's going to be at least one person in the room who's going through this. So you need to bear that in mind. And I plead to you to reconsider your material.
Change your show, because I didn't like it.
And then these immediate things came to my head. As soon as I read that, when he said, oh, I had to run out of the room, I did an immediate flashback on stage thinking, yeah, I remember someone running out the room, but in my head, I was like...
Well, so when you see that, it was like a rat scurrying. Like, what did you kind of see?
I thought, oh, they need a piss.
Oh, immediately.
That's what I thought. They need a piss. They're running out to run back. Because I didn't hear any, like, crying or anything.
Yeah.
But then when I think back, it's like, oh, they ran out. And then a few other people ran out after them, which now knows must be their friends.
Got you.
And if you're in the crowd, you can hear it. So you're like, big commotion. And if you're talking about something like IVF, if you haven't been through it, like everything, if it's a room for white people and someone tells a joke about Asian people, there's one Asian person. If they look to the Asian person's laughing, they're like, oh yeah, I wanted to laugh, but okay, I can laugh.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
most 100%. People haven't been through IVF or infertility. So they're listening to it. I'm the arbiter of what's funny, what's not in IVF, because I'm the one telling the story. I'm going for it.
No doubt.
Now, if someone else in the room now but forces themselves to be after by crying or having a big emotional response to it, then they're like, oh, I thought we were all laughing at this, but now someone's, oh shit, maybe we shouldn't laugh. Yeah. But because I didn't know that in the moment, I would have addressed it.
No doubt.
In the moment and stuff. I don't know what I would have said, but I would have thought something to be like, it's an emotional thing, but
yeah, it is what
it is. It's a true story. It's my story. So so that was my initial thought. Okay, yeah, that's what that happened. Then I think, right, it's a sensitive topic, so I'm not going to just be a comedian about it and be like, oh, fuck off, it's my show, whatever, blah, blah, blah. And then, as I was thinking of this, I was like, hold on. This is on WhatsApp. And I was like, wait.
Audience member had your number.
I was like, how the fuck has this person got my number? And then I was thinking, wait, who is this? So I'm there trying to work it out, thinking, and I know none of my social media has my number, nothing. Even to the point where I went to Google as a like guest, because I'm logged into
incognito.
Yeah, like, so I thought, right, now let's search myself. I even type in my telephone number next to my name, nothing comes up. So I was like, how the fuck they got my number? I thought, let me click the profile picture. Click on the profile picture. In the profile picture is the woman who messaged me and the guy she's with, I assume it's her fiance who she's going for IVF with. I thought, I know his face. And this is the guy who showed me to the green room of the theatre. I was like, okay, so clearly they've got my number from that booking information. and whatever. Yeah. She's got upset. She's got into his ear. He's this henpecked guy. She's gone, nah, he's upset me. And he's gone, oh, I'll sort this out. Here's his number. You can message him. But so that's what I thought it was. Yeah. I didn't. So, but since then, development. So because I messaged the booking agent and my agent, say, look, this is what's happened.
Yeah.
So booking agent rings me and goes, Darren, I haven't sent your number to them. I was like, what? He goes, I haven't sent your number. And I thought, oh, like not even to the fears. I thought you would have. He goes, I would have thought I did as well. Because I don't. I make a thing of not sending numbers. Yeah, so I thought maybe I made an accident.
So if you were late or something like that, how would they have contacted you?
He puts his number as the contact. Say, contact me and I'll contact the act.
Oh, okay. Oh, fair enough.
So, because I guess he works with even bigger acts. He works like massive accidents, so he doesn't want to be giving out their numbers.
No doubt.
So, he goes, I've even looked through my emails and I can't see your numbers. So he goes, so she's got your number from somewhere. He goes, so that's out of order anyway.
Yeah.
He goes, but I thought it was from me. He goes, and it's not from me. So,
so right now, you don't know how...
Don't know how she got a number.
Wow.
Still don't know? No. So
that is crazy.
They're still investigated. He goes, leave it with me. I'll find out.
Because what a breach... One, it's a breach of your privacy. It's two issues. One, it's a breach of your privacy. And two, she had an issue with the show, which is fine. Like, whatever. That's going to happen. Yeah. But it's just like... Is it because in any other context... I'm presuming she's older than you. An older woman messaging a you're not like 18 or whatever.
Yeah.
A younger guy. It's not seen as bad. Role reverse, an older guy messaging a younger female comic. It's a much sort of bigger.
I'm not sure she's older, actually. I'm not sure she's older.
Yeah, so maybe similar age. But
yeah, very similar age probably.
Even so, the role reverse, it's
mad.
Out of order. GDPR, all these other rules that are meant to exist, they didn't apply here. Crazy.
Yeah, I know. And then when I thought about it, the more I thought about it, because I told Naomi about it.
Yeah.
So I think, all right. Because before I was going to best into the WhatsApp group, before, let me ask Naomi, see what she thinks. And I tell her, and her response, I'm thinking, oh, she's going to give me a nice balanced response. And she goes, oh, let's see the message. She goes, it's out of order that they've WhatsApped you. That's a different thing. So let me read the message. And she goes, oh, she can fuck off. I was like, what? She was like, no, how could your personal story be offensive to someone else? Because you're literally, are you on stage just taking the piss out of people who've gone through IVF? I was like, no. She goes, you've literally told your story. He goes, your story's triggered her. That's bad for her, but that's her.
That's her business.
Because you can't be thinking about that. He goes, it's your story. And then I told my agent, he was like, yeah, he goes, I would have had a similar thought to your business. He goes, that with that ethos, he goes, you can't have charities.
Yeah.
You can't have charities. Charities talk about like childhood famine. Nah.
You can't have anything.
Don't put it on TV. That's triggering for me. Like,
anything.
We're raising awareness.
Anything.
We can't raise awareness.
You could be awareness. In the fucking script or like final screening before Django Unchained comes out. And someone goes, Quentin, just so you know, there's probably going to be somebody in the movie theater that's black.
they might not like it.
They might. So I plead with you to just
please
turn the hue up and turn just everybody orange or something.
Just change the script. You just got to change the script.
Yeah.
2 weeks before.
it's absolutely insane.
It's puzzled me now,
and it's on how on...
they got your number.
Yeah,
was it when I sent it to them?
because it's surely the natural.
Any other acts on the was it on the lineup?
Yeah, but they don't have my number.
But on the booking sheet, there's no numbers on there because
I didn't see a booking sheet. So
I've done we do gigs for a big corporation in this country, and like every time we do it on the booking sheet, our numbers are on there.
I'm thinking it must be there. It must be there.
It must be somewhere.
And I done a show at the same theater you done that preview. I done a show there a couple of weeks ago for a different promoter than probably booked you.
Yeah.
And on that booking sheet, my number was on there. So I can't imagine the theater didn't have your number.
Yeah.
On your email card, you know, when you hover over someone's email,
yeah,
and it shows you loads of different.
That info.
Is it on that? Is it linked to that?
But I guess they don't have my email.
Not copying into any emails. Really.
No, it was all booker forwarded from.
That's to get it within that 12 hours is insane.
That's what I mean.
As well.
The theatre must have had my number.
There's no other plausible way. Like, yeah. But it's even
better. And if it would be a member of staff, other half, it's like...
Oh, yeah. Oh, come on, man.
That's the thing. They've baited themselves up.
It has to be that.
It's not internet. It's not through internet. It's literally direct. There's a booking information. Your number must be on that booking information. It's irresponsible. I know what you said about the book earlier, but there's no way that an act could be on their way to your venue and you can't contact them.
Yeah.
Like, let's say you just didn't show up. What are they going to do? Call a random person?
Yeah, yeah.
Mess. Absolute mess. So, yeah, that's... breach of your confidentiality. And yeah, Bun, what she said, I told you I had a message similar to that before my Edinburgh show last year. I had a preview and saying, oh, you know, well, I had a heckler in Bristol anyway, so I've had people hate on me anyway. People didn't want to see this show, so I persevered. But anyway,
but at least they did it directly, because that means you could then address it in the room.
Yeah.
And you can switch the room. And what happened with you is the room on your side.
Yeah. They're backing it.
Whereas me, did address it, caused a scene, and then I don't even know if the scene was created.
That's crazy.
Do you think that would played into what you're saying is like the room didn't come back?
Yeah, because I think they were fully aware that this person's so upset and something's happened, and then it looks even weirder that I'm not even talking about. I haven't even addressed it.
Yeah,
because I couldn't see what's happening.
So how did the show end then? Could it kind of end?
Oh, big applause, big applause and stuff. But I didn't like go out to the lobby or anything after. I was just in the green room just thinking, oh, fuck, I need to redo my material. And man, I'm really hot. That's really
when you
I'm
put
really
it hot. All together, you go, oh, it makes sense.
Yeah. Part of me wished I went, if I knew, I would have gone out to the lobby and just started speaking to people and chatting away. And then.
Oh, did you kind of stay back because you felt a type of way?
No, it's just because the way the theatre was set up, I came through the back door, like I was parked at the back of the theatre. This is the first time I've ever been like parked backstage, came through stage door.
Oh, okay.
Went round the back. So I never went at the front.
You know, you never met the regular folk.
Yeah, never got to the front. Whereas every other show I've done, I've had to come through the front or it's been like a club anyway. So you're amongst the people when you're not on. And then, so because of that, there was no natural thing to me to go to the front. I had to have gone out of my way to go to the front and asked to go backstage, go get my car. So I was like, let me just
do you know what we should duck do? Out.
What?
We should call her right now.
The wickedest thing is, if we were to call her and speak to her, we will now become the villain. Yeah. That's the mad thing. We're invading her privacy if we call her. And that's the crazy thing. But, you know, that's the problem.
I'll do it.
Because I don't want her to know she's actually got my number. I mean, she knows now.
Yeah. It's too late now.
What's her name on the thing?
No, come on. +44
You would have been a +44
Yeah.
But do you know...
Fuck you, Karen.
Did you, for balance, get any positive messages?
Did I feel what?
For balance, did you get any positive messages?
No, I got no other messages. No one else WhatsApped me.
Oh, okay. Maybe an ID sometime.
No one else got to get
added to the group chat.
Yeah.
Just for Benz.
Can you imagine? Oh,
this is why it couldn't happen to me. It could not happen to me.
You just give the number out to other people.
I'd make about 25 pieces of content off of that.
Yeah, but you want to like the response, fact that she's come to
calling,
you.
I'm adding her to the group chat. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and that's it. You just have to hope that the person you're contacting is a good Samaritan, you know.
Oh, it couldn't.
You're chilled about it. But
it could.
Yeah, it's true. She risked her own GDPR to come talk to
him. Yeah, so she put herself out there. She can't complain, you've got my deal. You've given it to him, one, or to whoever you're messaging. Two, you're giving it to a comic. A comic, you're trying to reach them on this emotional level. They could be like, fuck you. No, you're getting teared a new one.
Yeah, I found
you'll be fair game.
You could be on a screen, on a stage, in front of everyone and be going, someone's going, this fucking dickhead, right here. This is what they said to me.
You could literally be, I urge you to change the material. Fine. You're now on the show.
You are the material.
Exhibit A. Yeah, 100%. Don't ask for something you don't want to see. You really don't know.
Yeah.
She doesn't know what she's asking for.
She don't want that smoke.
And the thing is, I'm sure she's laughing at bits earlier in the show, as she said.
Yeah, she said enjoyed it.
In laughing at bits that probably didn't pertain to her. The bits that pertain to her, she didn't like, and you should take out the show.
Shady.
It don't work like that.
Nope.
It don't work like that.
The show you can't have it both was ways. Not written for you.
100%.
What we can do is smooth segue. We're talking about IVF.
Yeah.
Potential IVF and potential scenarios. So a few weeks back, obviously.
Yeah. A few weeks back.
Yeah.
But we just, I don't know, because she's not said publicly, but obviously big up Naomi Campbell, first and foremost.
Yeah, you know, she is Streatham
South London, you know, supermodel.
Richard Blackwood's cousin.
Small world.
Nelson Mandela's
mate, isn't it?
Mate.
Yeah, they had a link up like that. Second child.
Yeah.
You know, gave birth 53.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think that the average age of menopause in the UK is 51, 52. So, you know, she's doing her thing. She's beating biology.
She's probably got some Illuminati.
Or is she beating biology?
Well, she said it's her child. Like, obviously, she's kept it very private.
Yeah.
As is her right. Very private. But she has confirmed it is her child.
Mm.
Saying that the biology is hers.
Imagine doing labour in your 50s.
Fuck that.
We don't even have to do it. And I'm still like, bruh, sit down.
Man said, fuck that. That is insane.
That seems long.
That is
long, bro. I'm 50 years old. I'm not running up the stairs. Like,
you could do cesarean.
That's still major, though, isn't it? Your body's got to recover. That's from, yeah, was it recover, seven layers?
Do you know how many prets that is before you can walk again?
Oh, my God.
But yeah, but I guess the question is that, like, you said it is her right to not disclose that.
Yeah.
But do
yeah.
you think celebs or people of high profile have some sort of like obligation?
Are you alright, bro?
Yeah, I'm good, though.
Why did you
what, back it like that?
That was fucking aggressive, bro.
No, it's nearly empty in it.
Fam. I heard that.
I tried to do it inconspicuously, but now you alerted everyone. So, you know, you defeat the object.
Did you hear that?
I didn't hear it. I'm going to hear it on the back. On the back.
I heard the drink say, ouch, on the way down.
Yo. The drink is sugar. I like that.
But yeah, do celebrities have some responsibility or obligation to disclose how their child comes to the world? And the reason I ask that is because I feel like a lot of people put themselves... A lot of women will now put themselves under pressure going, like, I can't have kids at this age. This woman's 50-odd and she's having kids. And maybe if they knew... And be fair, it might be full biological coitus, had sex and had a kid.
Coitus. Okay, man's going to Google that later.
That's the P in the V. Coitus.
That's it, man.
That's coitus.
That's sex.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's just a formal term.
Yeah. Coitus. Yes, it could be that. Or it could be surrogacy. It could
coitus
be...
Coitus interruptus.
Yeah, that's pull-out game. Pull-out game strong in Latin.
Yeah, it's like a spell. Like Harry Potter spell.
Coitus interruptus.
That's why you men don't get paid...
I'm talking about
doing this. That's why you might not get peas.
Quite it's interrupt.
That's why no one's backing you, bruv.
Hey, no, let's make up. Not getting a little
cool. But yeah. So it's like, so it could be any of those. It could be any of those things.
Yeah, it could very well be.
It's like, I don't know, I feel like if people know the full story of what it really is like, and maybe I know I fully understand I'm biased because of the show I'm writing and I'm trying to shed light onto.
Yeah.
How difficult it can be to have kids.
Yeah.
So I'm definitely biased. So
yeah, you so guys you're posing the question.
Maybe less biased.
I think the thing is, when you're a celebrity, you sell something of yourself. That's what being a celebrity is. You sell something. Obviously, she sold her talent of catwalking or walking the catwalk when she was a supermodel. And part of we laugh.
You're respecting models' talent.
Nah.
No, straight.
I'm not respecting how you went. She sold the talent of catwalking or walking the catwalk.
Well, I don't want a formal term.
Have you seen that meme? There's a black man. He goes, it's just question mark.
Yeah. Bruv, I don't know what a formal term is, but
you just said the same thing twice.
Yeah, that's how you extend the word count. You know, just say it a different way.
I'm finished.
But she's doing her thing. She's doing her thing, yeah.
Same fucking friends, bro.
And I respect that. And I think celebs, they sell a part of themselves, but they may want to gatekeep some parts of their lives, which, you know, you got respect, you know. But I don't know of her that way. I don't think she's always been one of those people that is always in the limelight, though. So, for example,
she's old school celebrity where they disappear when they're not promoting something.
No doubt. Live their life, come out. Like, for example, like a Kardashian. If a Kardashian's like, oh, I want privacy, it's like, no.
Yeah, you've shown us too much.
No. Don't try it now. Your whole money, fame, and celebrity is about revealing every little damn deal.
So we will know every
little. So don't come and say, I want privacy with this. It don't work like that.
Yeah, yeah.
The social contract you've got in the world, it doesn't work. So I think with someone like her, who does pull back when she needs to, give her that space.
And I think most people definitely are like, all right.
Yeah, I don't think people are like, right, Naomi, you must tell us.
Yeah, like, Naomi Campbell was pregnant again. I was like, again? I didn't know she was pregnant the first time.
Yeah, yeah.
I didn't know she had kids. Last thing I saw of Naomi Campbell was in about 2008, 2009, and it was MTV Cribs. That's the last time I saw anything.
Oh, yeah, yeah, been keeping up.
Before that, I think she was standing next to Nelson Mandela talking about something, and then before that, she was slapping someone in the face in the Nasty Girl video.
And throwing telephones at people.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I remember she was that little phase of dashing telephones at people. Yeah.
She would introduce Dave Chappelle at a couple of these London shows. In 2018.
That's a flex, because there's no need for Naomi Campbell to introduce
you. Yeah, like,
but can I just say, even if I'm at Dave Chappelle's show and Naomi Campbell introduces him, I'm like, leave now.
Oh yeah.
Like, I don't care.
But that's the whole, that's why it's such a flex, because like, you really don't need.
Yeah, it's completely unnecessary.
You don't need one of the most the famous suit. She was in the elite supermodel.
Yeah, there's like
category.
Six of them or something like that, yeah.
Yeah, for sure. Big ups, Black Queen, all of that.
Rose man is that he does not give a toss. That's such a lie. I do not give a toss. I'll get my buzzwords out there so don't come to me.
Have you seen a new Kevin Hart special?
Yeah.
Big up, Black Queen. Power to you. All of that. Love your work. I don't give a shit.
Yeah. No, I hear that.
You don't have to.
Anytime someone has a pregnancy, my, love and prayers, hope that all goes fantastically well for you. Yeah?
Yeah, yeah.
Outside of that,
don't give a shit.
I don't give a shit.
And I hear that as well.
Yeah. Once you told me it's here, 10 fingers, 10 toes, lovely jubbly. After one of them.
Yeah.
I don't know you like that. After one of them.
Yeah, you're not going to be invested.
I don't give a shit.
But you're not a fan of her, innit? Yeah. I think fans.
Even Kanye had kids, I was like, I don't care.
Well, you're also, there's levels of fan, though, isn't it? You're a fan.
No, I'm a big Kanye fan.
No, I didn't, but there's like stands. Okay, fan and stand, then let's separate like that. You're a fan, you're not a stan.
Yeah, well,
there are people who are like.
Have you got like Yeezy boots?
No, because they're too much.
Exactly, because you're not a prick.
Yeah.
But those are stands.
I have it if I had the money.
Yeah, but stands that are broke will probably have it.
That's why they broke, baby.
Exactly.
Do you even have the trainers, Yeezys?
Too much. £350.
Yeah.
No. There's levels to this. Yeah. But I think stans will want to know every last details. You're not going to get access to that type of stuff. But I think people, even knowing her story, hopefully that makes people consider, if they want to get pregnant in late life, you can wait. Even just knowing that she's given birth will hopefully be inspiring to people. Cause,
is there a way to count how many eggs you got left?
It's your ovarian reserve. So they don't know exactly, but they can estimate how many eggs you've got.
Because I saw a video the other day, they said you're born with
Your eggs. You're born with all your eggs.
But this is like hundreds of thousands.
Yeah, and then depending on the woman, it's like it would be a sharp drop off, so they need to be getting pregnant early doors if they want to get pregnant like naturally, because their drop off is just so I know I just know that through obviously going through what we went through in the sense of it's like it's almost two different criteria they're looking at.
But you can freeze it.
Yeah.
Women can freeze their eggs as well.
Yeah. But but that's not a guarantee that when you thaw them out later on it's gonna be all thumbs up. So he's got two. I can't remember which hormone represents which, but basically one is the size of your stock room, and then one's almost like your shop floor, and then the other one is the quality of your stock.
Okay,
it's three. It's three kind of criteria. So you've got how much you've got back there, how much is ready to go, and then it's the quality of your stock. Okay. And I thought about all of this in that way because it's like, do I write a joke about this?
So you put an analogy on it.
Yeah, that's so like, how do understand. I make an analogy? This,
big
yeah.
ups to her, man.
Yeah.
Big ups to her.
I told you that time that I worked at the fertility clinic while I was a student. That told you the story.
About the guy.
You told me you broke into there.
Broke into fertility. How am I going to break into? Oh. I told you about the lady with the results, and I understood what the results meant, but I was too chicken to explain.
I think you've told me. I don't think you've said it on the pod.
Oh yeah, so you obviously were talking about fertility and that. So I remember I was only in that fourth year, and I was doing a gynae placement, and we had to go to the fertility clinic, and then they were like, "Oh, Michael, go talk to a couple before the main doctor will come and speak to them for experience. You go take a history." And the lady in question, I think she was like late 30s, she had two abortions in her 20s.
Right.
Wasn't the right dude, wasn't ready, all good, whatever. So she's now with a partner, been with the partner for like a year, 18 months, trying, no luck. And then, so typically, as we all know, they usually try the ladies first before they send for the men. So it came together, and then I had the results in front of me, and I was looking through them. This is my first time in this clinic. I was looking through, and I know the hormone is FSHLH.
Yeah.
Follicle stimulating hormone, luteinizing hormone. These are the stimulate the follicles, and the luteinizing hormone is the one that actually releases them when you ovulate, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
And I could see.
So I think that's the shop floor while I'm thinking of.
Do you know what? When he said that, I was like, yeah, I couldn't be a doctor.
So when I saw this, I could see she was not ovulating. So if you're not ovulating, you're not having periods. And you're not having periods, you can't get pregnant. I could see she wouldn't release her ovarian hormones weren't being released.
Yeah.
Essentially, there was no level. They were like under.
Because you got the AMH as well as another one, isn't it?
100%. So now I'm looking down, and I'm like, she's telling me, "Oh, we've been trying, no luck." And I'm like, "Are you getting periods?" "Oh, they're a bit of a scatty." I'm looking, I see zero. I said, "Oh, you know what? I'm just a student. I'm still learning. I ain't gonna start guessing and tell you something that I don't know to be 100% true. Even though I was confident, I'm not gonna tell you that. So let me wait for someone who's actually been paid to tell you bad news. I ain't been paid to tell you nothing. So I'm gonna wait for someone." And I left. I said, "Look, the doctors could come and speak to you and tell you what's really happening."
They're like, "Aren't you a doctor?" He's like, "I'm talking about the real doctors. I'm not a real doctor.
I don't even work here.
I'm a student. This is my first and last day.
I'm studying BTEC sport."
Sports science. I just came. They just said, "Go see ladies." I didn't look. And I was like, "Yo, this is crazy." And I said, "See life. Life is crazy." Like, this lady was pregnant two times. And
you should say twice. Two times is grammatically incorrect.
I'm sure it is.
Just say twice.
She was pregnant two times.
She was pregnant twice.
Stop being a teacher.
Twice she was pregnant.
She was pregnant twice. Happy? Two times. Anyway, she was pregnant. Two times, two chains. She was pregnant twice, and had woven her right, no criticism.
Yeah, yeah.
But chose to end
up. But it's on those ones that if she was has a crystal ball to look to the future, but would she have done that?
Yeah.
And again, this isn't a judgment thing, but it's like,
now she's in a
position
where
it's too late to apologize.
She by herself, she can still have kids as other options, adoption and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But it's looking like she biologically cannot have kids.
Yeah.
Now, even if you stuck someone else's egg in her.
Yeah, but then biologically, it's
not her.
It's not her egg, is it? She can have the sensation of carrying the child, which I think has a high amount of value too.
Mm. Yeah, I'm sure. Yeah.
But I think obviously some women, everyone's different. I think some women be like, I want a biological link to child, and that has to be genetic. Other women might be like, I just want the sensation of being pregnant and carrying the child.
And there's no right answer. No. It's whatever they want.
Because I know for me, I was just like,
your fancy.
Yeah. Because me, I was like, I want to be biologically linked to my kids.
So when I saw that, I was like, wow, this lady's late 30s. So that's the thing. It's unfortunately, it's.
Was she there when they broke the news to her?
Nah, I left the whole clinic. But I didn't want to stay for that. That's when I knew.
See, you didn't even see them leave?
Nah.
That's fair. Because I'm a coward and a nosy bastard as well. So I would be like, I'm not delivering the news but I want to stand next to this guy when he delivers, well, just to see how he does that.
I'll put my phone in the room on record.
This man doesn't write GDPR at all. Like,
you can't get mad at what a lady did and start
privately recording private medical conversations.
I'm not going to publicise that. They won't know.
It's just for me. It's just for me.
Like, if that lady just got your number, yeah, and gone to type her message out and then just left it unsent, no harm, no foul. Nobody knows. No one's hurt.
She should have called someday, especially how hurt she was.
Her fiancé still has his job.
She would have texted.
This is what I'm going to ask you, right? Why, I don't know if you know the answer to this, right?
Yeah, try me.
Why are the scissors that you use to cut the umbilical cord so, are they designed to make me look like a prick?
Low key, yeah.
Is that all they're for?
Yeah, most
because you brought out these fucking key stage one scissors, bro.
Right. Why did it?
What, you want which trimmers or something?
Just give me normal scissors.
Who was the first guy to decide?
Normal size scissors. Why am I doing this?
Do you have those umbilical
cords? I had this tiny.
I had the big, like.
You couldn't put your finger through it?
No. I had the tiny big opening supermarket things.
For real?
Yeah. This superstore's now open. As it was like,
I guess they give you scissors the same size as your penis. Oh, what are your scissors like?
Enough to go like that.
Yeah, yours are bigger than mine.
Bang.
Mine were like these fucking.
So how many times did it take? How many goes?
Two.
So everyone's like, can you even go? And
they were like, it's quite because the texture's nuts.
Yeah.
So they were like,
and it's yellow as well. Yeah. So obviously, every biology book you see is like, it's red and blue. It's just blood pumping. It's like, oh, that's what it's gonna look like. When I see this yellow,
it just reminded me of like, what it's not penne pasta, but the twist pasta before it's been chopped up into pieces.
Yeah, yeah.
Got a little bit hungry.
People eat the placenta, to be fair.
But not the umbilical cord. That's disgusting.
I had to go. No, you know what was disgusting? Fucking baby's out. Take two. Got it. Like,
yeah.
Three quarters of the way. Then another one. Bow. Done. And then I saw them tug
the placenta.
That's the third part of labor.
They tugged it and it.
You saw that. By
accident.
Yeah, I wouldn't be able to recover.
But the birth's not complete until they delivered the placenta.
I hear that. Completely fine with that. Warn me.
Yeah, because both mine were cesarean.
Because I didn't mind seeing him come out.
Yeah, but
this is what kept him alive.
Yeah, I hear that.
I'll go as far as to say, fuck Brett on this one. I get that. I'm with you, man. I'm with you lot, yeah?
Yeah.
I was there for 2 or 3 days. You couldn't have told me this at any point that you're going to go, and this sack... By the way, that looks like
liver.
It just got prepared at Morrison's deli desk.
Yeah, it's a mess.
Yeah,
it looks good apparently.
It looks like that paper shit, and someone's just gone with the string. Yeah,
I didn't see it. Both my cesarean and daughter. There's no chance of me seeing anything. They placed the curtain well. Never went beyond it. Mm. But I did go beyond it. They placed the curtain even more that way, and just said, here's the door here. No chance of seeing it. But then with my son, I had to walk beyond the curtain to like the incubator bit, like just to warm him up. And as I was walking past, I knew that if I just turned my head to the right, I was going to see something that I'd never be able to unsee. And in my head, it's like, just like for Darren, like you're never going to get a chance to see something like this again. Maybe just have a look. And then as I turned my head, something just went, no, don't.
Oh,
just
don't, you let
don't,
me down.
Don't do it.
I would have looked. I would have looked.
Nah, because what it is cesarean.
It's a lot.
It's major surgery. Yeah. And because I don't know how I'd react.
So, did you get queasy?
See, I never thought I did. I never thought I did get queasy until I had an operation on my own hand. Mm. And the doctor couldn't work out where the other incision should be. Like, they had like a diagram in my hand.
What did you do, in carpal tunnel?
I stupidly punched some glass when I was like early 20s and stuff. So I had to get all the glass removed from my head. And so they had a diagram I had. So knees touch, with shoulder down. And I was like, we can't see where the other incision is. And they lift my hand up, like, okay, cool. Go, is it here? And as they did that, the skin of my hand just flipped
open. The flat, I didn't mean
and
the flat.
I could just see right into my finger, and it's like blood pressure to it. I was like, I couldn't even see straight. I was like, is it this way? Or this way? Or this? And I was just seeing my hand. I was like, I don't know.
So I get that cesarean is nuts.
Yes,
right?
In my head, I was like, if I collapse,
I'm risking it.
Yeah,
I'm saying, Jesus, take the wheel. Because I'm the type of guy that would be driving home, kid in the back. We did it.
Yeah.
Dun, 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 dun. Yeah, we did it.
Yeah.
Amazing.
Yep.
Oh, thank you, God. Thank you, Jesus. Wonder what that shit looked like, though.
So that's you.
Immediately. And then for the rest of my life, I'm like, if I don't have another one, I'm like, I should have looked.
See, whereas that's you, whereas me, I'd be driving home after seeing it. And then one day, it would just come back in my head and I'll scream and just turn the car off the road.
On the Dartford crossing.
That's a long way to the Thames, you know. You have to die before you hit the Thames because that's a painful drowning.
It's Inception. Maybe you wake up.
Hit the water, then bang.
I'll be seeing it again and again. If I fall,
I'd be like this. World stop.
You know what I mean? If I collapse in the operating theatre, nobody's just gone through hours of labour and then cesarean and then me like a dickhead just look. She can't even see it because she'll be behind the curtain laying there. All she'll just hear like the metal pad dad's down. She'll be like, what's happened?
And you're like, is it the baby? No, he's fine. Is it the mum? No, he's fine. The dad just passed out.
Sorry, dad's a wuss. Just roll him into the corner.
If I had to do that, if I came in and I see a fucking dad on the floor because they passed out, get the fuck
Naomi,
have you seen it?
He's so vexed.
It's part of training. They cut and then they just pull the muscle
out
of the way.
That's what it is about. It's
incision.
Yeah. I don't want to watch it from the beginning.
No, this guy's a surgeon.
I just want to see it.
Almost done. Surgeons are fucking butchers.
They
have these fine tools like scalpels, but they're still barbarians.
They make a cut into the skin. They when you get to the muscle, they just pull the muscle out and then they cut into the sac and then it's like...
Oh, why'd you do it like this though?
No, because that is what they're doing.
They pull the muscle. Bro, you can't...
You're behind the curtain, but you can just see muscle-bound surgeon Donnie's just... You can feel like the bed moving and like I'm like looking at him like, you're right. It's weird because I can't feel the pain, I can feel like pressure and movement. And it's like... I know what happens, but I haven't seen it. I haven't even looked at it online. Mm. They are moving organs out. Let's put that there. Put that there. Put
we
that
almost
there,
went to theatre.
Cut in. Here's the baby. We'll put that shit back in later.
Yeah. We
almost went to theatre.
Yeah.
Doctor came in and everything. But then he was like, "No, you can do this by yourself." So I think they were going to... There was concerns about my son's heart rate.
Yeah, yeah.
So it kept dropping and stuff.
That shit's scary, man.
And the first time it dropped, no one was in the room, apart from her and the doctors.
Were you not in the room?
No, me and my mum had gone outside to have a cigarette.
So yeah, it's having my daughter. Heart dropped. I'd asleep on the sofa. Sanctioned sleep. Wasn't me just being the shit. That everyone's like, you should just rest because it's going to be a long thing. And I was just sitting with that. And all they was like, do, 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 do. And that's the thing. I as I'm bolting up, I'm just seeing bare gloves coming. I'm like, what the fuck? Because I'm still waking up.
Like everyone's on job.
Yeah, and then like one of the staff noticed me kind of thing, and just like calmed me down straight away because I was like, "Dari, just the baby's heart's dropped. We're just gonna just monitor it. Baby just seems to be struggling a bit, but it's okay. We're gonna." I'm just like. No.
And that's what you want to do, sorry, but you can't.
Yeah.
And you nor do you know what to do.
Exactly.
So you're kind of helpless. You're useless. Yeah. You're very useless. You're just anxiety in
that's
in the
it.
Body.
You're not helpful. No one wants your panic.
You're the guy from the previous episode. You're this pool of anxiety.
You're not helpful.
And I reckon you want to help, but there's nothing you can actually do.
Yeah. Because that's my explanation of why I didn't do anything during the labour. Because she, no, I'm just like, you didn't really do much. Like, you could do more. I was like, what could I have done? And she's like, held my hand, be reassuring.
I held her leg.
Did these things. Just what that.
The nurse, the midwife was like, take that leg.
Yeah.
And I took it and they were like, and now push it.
Right.
To oh, kind, distance.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah. Push it. Yeah. And I'm like, all right, cool. Whatever, whatever. And then my son came out and I froze.
So you was down that end?
I was looking. Looking for revenge. Ooh, I was looking.
Yeah.
I said, like I said, I need to see it. If you're not going to let me film it, I need to watch it live and direct.
Oh, yeah. Right. That's the thing. I guess that's the thing. Like, my wife's birth wasn't the first birth I've seen.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
I've had to see births. And I've seen traumatic ones. I've seen, like, oh, yeah, come in. There's a difficult birth in here. You walk in and you're like, this lady's butt naked. Her husband is holding her hand. He's in bits. She's pushing, and when she pushes, everything's coming out. Feces, liquid.
Yeah.
So when you've seen this...
So was it any different from seeing your missus being the person going through all of that?
Did you go to, like, your I don't know what you do as a doctor, but did you, like, clock in just to make some extra moves?
I wish I did, man.
I'm on job.
I wish I did. Could have made some extra money, man. Do you know what the funny is? Because my missus wanted the epidural. She wanted that. So she was epidural.
Yeah.
And then she'd...
But really, you two could have done this at home.
Nah, like, come on, man.
She could have done it herself, innit?
She could have done it herself, yeah. Literally. Epidural herself, like, big belly. Oh.
So when you talk about strain on the NHS, is you lot?
Yeah.
Wasting the resources.
Using the resources that we're also paying for, yeah, absolutely. So, but she... She was epidural, but she was too far dilated to need it. Right. And ironically, funnily enough,
I was the same with my mum and me.
She was, yeah, too far gone. But the niece that was on duty that day, I actually went med school with her. I knew her.
Oh.
So.
You can't fuck this up.
No, so it was funny because we were being told the niece is busy, niece is busy.
Wait, can I say this?
What?
You know, if that's you, that scenario, yeah, and you know the anaesthetist, that's, you went to school with them,
yeah.
You went med school with them. But you know they got like a third and something. And you're like, no!
That's literally one of my jokes.
Oh, is it?
He had literally one of my jokes.
Sorry.
No, it's fine. No, it's fine. At least you're thinking along the same lines. But that's literally one of my jokes I've got in my set now. It's like, raw, like, yeah, because the joke is basically everyone thinks these doctors are like tip top on my head.
Yeah. Hey, I went to school with some of them.
These guys, man. You don't want it, all of them.
So I'm going to be a doctor today? The fuck you are!
But yeah, the rule thing was, is that normally doctors are, especially when it's a weekend, they're busy, they're on call, I bleep the doctor, that, and they're not around. I'm like, I could have just literally WhatsApped this girl, be like, where the fuck are you?
Yeah, where you at, Kurt?
Where you at, Kurt? Like,
send my lab location.
Yeah, say like, I'm here, come through. It's only when we had given birth, we saw her. She's like, oh my God. I'm like, you were an instance. What the fuck? Where the fuck were you? What were you doing on the
She was studying.
Yeah. Well, she needs to study, knowing her. But, But yeah, that's funny. That's actually one of the jokes. But,
yeah, man.
But yeah, that birthing. Oh shit! Look at the time.
Yeah.
Time be flying when you're having fun, man. Yeah. But that's been another episode of Late Nights and Them Wet Wipes. Yeah. Big up the women giving birth, man. Women risk their lives giving birth. We didn't even get into the
big up. Yeah, I'll tell you this on the next one. Yeah. So remind me about what happened after
maternal
my son was born.
Yeah. Risk
mad
with giving birth.
Put it in the.
You know what I mean? And I just have to say it. After my BBL, I have to say it, man, particularly black women at risk 4 times the mortality rate compared to their white counterparts. I just have to say it. It's
not five. I've been saying five in my set.
I think five in the US. I don't know. But, like, but it's a lot.
Say 10. Say 10.
It's a lot. And I'm going to say...
It's creative license. Say 10.
Each time a white woman gives birth, a black woman is murdered by the energy.
And that's why I went with a white woman, because I'm saving black queens, man. You don't have to worry about that, man.
Doctor Umar's gonna walk through that door.
Fuck Doctor Umar, kick his kneecaps out.
I'm in my crackadoo. Oh, to God. The left has been
Kazeem Jamal.
He didn't even do no noise. He's serious
now.
I'm
serious, bro. I'm got my eyes on the door in case he pops in. I'll fuck him up, bro.
Isn't it suspicious? He just comes in.
Man, it's suspicious. You can't walk anymore, you fat prick.
And Uber your op.
Fuck that guy, bro. Fuck that guy. Punk. Fucking knob. Where's your school at, bro? Get your money up, cuz.
What have you been doing to your soul? What's
Uber done to you?
Fuck that guy, bro. It makes me feel like a piece of shit every time you talk about Snow Bunny. Suck your mum, bro. Suck your mum 10 times, you bro. You fat diabetic prick. Go take your insulin shot, you fat cunt.
It's a pot presenting like this. I didn't pick the pot.
Fuck him. When I took a knee, it wasn't for you, you cunt. He's not just sending for me, sending for my granddad as well. I'll fucking shank you in your nose hole, lad.
Oh my god.
Oh shit.
My chest.
Oh, but you know what it is? Because I just watch it, I just kick it and move on. But I didn't know it like was having an impact.
Triggers me, fam. I'm not fighting this guy. He don't know nothing about me, bro. Your diabetes, man. Move from me, blood.
It's true. Because if something doesn't affect you, doesn't pertain to you, you're just like
we all talking about.
It's true. He's just funny. He's just funny to me.
Yeah, I
don't even agree with everything he says. But I just think he's funny. He's just funny.
Listen. First and foremost, as we know who he is, I wouldn't go to his show, but I wouldn't walk out of his show. But
yeah.
Afterwards, I'd be in the car like, fuck that fat fucking donkey, bruv. He's got diabetes type 1 and 2. He's got diabetes 3, bruv.
That's because he's Jamal. And to the left.
Darren Griffiths, man.
Hey, man, that's been Late Nights and Wet Wipes. Oh. Have a great week, people, and peace.